Welcome to episode 5 of the Asia Business Investor podcast. Today we're actually going off to Tehran in Iran, where we're going to discuss investment and business opportunities in Iran. Today's guest of the Asia Business Investor podcast is Alireza Azimzadeh, who is chairman of Margosta Persia, one of Iran's leading market development and entry consultancy agencies. Thanks, Ali, for joining us. Perhaps you could start by telling us a bit more about yourself and your company in Iran.
My name is Alireza Azimzadeh. To my personal background, I've grown up in Germany and got my doctorate degree from the Vienna University in Austria in international commercial law. Margosta Persia is the leading business development strategic consultancy and commercial legal advice firm in Iran.
And what's your main company focus?
Our focus, though, is in three main fields. Mm-hmm. It's the consumer business, it's construction industry, and oil and gas. And in cooperating with international and national partners, we know how a controlled market entry must be organized and structured to guarantee sustainable, successful activities for international businesses in a new market like Iran.
How would you describe the business environment in Iran today?
Iran is a country with rich mineral resources. According to one UN report, it is the fourth richest country in the world. It has been historically dominated from the economy, from oil earnings, which is currently about 80% of the revenue. Non-oil exports have begun to rise.
Right.
On the other side, import spending is also rising quickly as higher foreign exchange earnings have allowed the central bank to relax its import compression. The business environment is very much influenced from these. First of all, the oil revenue, because of the high oil prices, was very much. And on the other side, the import was also very much influenced from that and doubled size compared to last year, I guess. We have a GDP per capita. This is statistics from 2007, about $4,149 US dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And a real GDP growth from about 5.8%. The inflation rate is about 17.5% officially. Mm-hmm. It is rising nowadays, and the population is about 71 million people. Iran is both geographically, geopolitically, and economically a very important country with 1,648,000 square kilometers as access to the main waters of the Middle and Near East, namely the Caspian Sea in the north, mm-hmm. neighboring to the Caucasus with 300 million inhabitants. Again, for sure, Iran has high capabilities to offer to all these countries around. And building materials like concrete
mm-hmm.
or engineering know-how, which we have in international standards too. Oil, gas, copper, and many more crucial minerals, which is very important in today's world, you will find Iran as a top 10 producer of that.
So what have been the main challenges for business?
I think we have to separate the case into international challenges and the day-to-day local challenges the business mm-hmm. has. Internationally, in coping with the U.S. embargo and its impact, in the first instance, that means if companies are handling products that have more than 10% U.S. origin,
mm-hmm.
They have to go through certain procedures. Although this is unilateral from U.S. towards Iran, there is no embargo from Iran towards U.S.
Okay.
Companies who have some interest in the U.S. market should consider this. But we do also see U.S. companies already established in Iran with offices, official offices in Iran, and this trend is growing. On the other hand, in the wake of this embargo, some European governments have freed their grants and supports on the government side of the business, like the Export Guarantee Organizations, Hermes Germany, UKB Austria, and the like. So some of the businessmen from that country who relied on this kind of support from their government in their export activities are not having that anymore, for the time being, at least. So this hinders somehow bigger projects, not the consumer business.
Right. So what do you think about the economic prospects of Iran for the next 5 to 10 years?
As mentioned, the average economical growth is about 6%.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a report from Goldman Sachs, which mentions Iran in the next 11 or N11 as one of the 11 countries on the edge of industrialization that has the potential to rise in the next decade as among the 20 top nations in the world economically.
Right.
There has been some criteria like population and growth rate, which brought that, and this is for sure correct. What we see nowadays going on in the country and the potential which there is, if there would be no political impacts on that, for sure it would be one of the main players in today's economy. Besides, in Iran we do have a 20-year plan or outlook internally. And then we have the 5-year development plans, whereas we are in the fourth one nowadays. And then we have the annual budget, which clearly out givings of the country in the set framework 20-year and the 5-year development plan. The budget for 2008-2009 is $289 billion, which shows an increase of 17% compared to last year's budget. This budget was based on a conservative old revenue assumption of $39.7 a barrel. So to be on the safe side, the rest of the money which comes in goes into the, let's say, oil fund, for which is a reserve for future spendings and obstacles. We have a demographic shift in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 50% of the population is under 20 years of age.
Wow, yeah.
And 70% is under 30 years. So you can imagine that there is a huge need for consumer products in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And this population is, by the way, forecasted to be 125 million in the next 30 years. So it's growing. In the first place, as I said, the consumables,
mm-hmm.
and the second place, IT and telecommunication, then housing, and everything which is related with this market segment could be of interest for any investment. On the other hand, the country itself needs input for maintaining and expanding its position internationally,
mm-hmm.
so it has to put money and investments into infrastructure projects. It is energy sector, mainly oil and gas. It is in the electricity, water, wind, alternative energy, whatsoever. Everything is interesting here, and then the government is putting money into that.
Oh, okay. For those foreign businesses and entrepreneurs looking at doing business in Iran, do you think there is a particularly Persian style of doing business?
Yeah, Iranians are for sure good business persons. The heritage of over thousands of years, where the Persian Empire established trade routes between the Far East and the Roman Empire,
mm-hmm.
being historically at the crossroad between Europe and Asia, but the famous Silk Road passing through the country has had its influence on the business behavior in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The businessmen are considerate and do normally look for long-lasting ties. Trustworthiness and credibility is the main that counts. Even in the civil law, it is clearly stated that a contract could be orally or in writing.
Okay.
personal communication and social chemistry is the crucial factor, though.
So it's very much about relationships.
Absolutely. On the local side, a businessman should have patience and endurance, especially when dealing with government bodies.
Yeah, that can be the case everywhere.
Yeah, it could be, but they have to persist. They have to be on the ball. So maybe, yeah. maybe it shows itself a little bit more when they deal with the government.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at the point mentioning that international multinational companies are more or less finding out your end potential. Even top franchise companies like Benetton choose Tehran as the Middle East headquarters. This is a good breakthrough. The company who am I consulting right now is opening the first Debenham store in Tehran in 3 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also the biggest private sector investment with the British retail business after the Iranian Revolution.
Well, so what do you think the most important thing for foreigners to know when they do business in Iran?
Iranians are, as mentioned, very formal, and it will take several meetings before a more personal relationship can be established. Negotiations could be long, detailed, and protracted. This is particularly true for government officials, representatives of state-controlled companies and foundations. Tenders are strictly required for government contracts, for purchasing or projects. These are rarely competitive. Breaking up contracts into smaller parts is a common practice to try and incorporate local capability, mm-hmm. and also to negotiate on specific prices. It is recommended to maintain a package approach.
Right.
Many approaches by state companies and organizations are aimed at obtaining information to be used in negotiations with the preferred supplier, though.
Ah.
Shaking hands with male counterparts, this is the personal side of it,
mm-hmm.
and the exchange of business cards is the usual form of introduction. Whereas shaking hands with women is forbidden.
Mm.
With local agents and Iranians working with foreign companies who have had a greater exposure to Western norms, cultural differences are at minimum. Government employees will only attend dry functions and usually only if they are held in a neutral environment. For example, a restaurant.
Okay.
Although exchange of gifts is a tradition among private sector business people,
mm-hmm.
and alcohol is prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the main things which a businessman should know. On the other side, there is another business point of view is that the Iranian banks are not allowed to confirm letters of credit. So suppliers requiring confirmation should be able to arrange this independently through their banks.
Okay. So they can get around that by going to Dubai and places like that, right?
Yeah, or get silent confirmations, whatever. Yes.
Okay. So looking at business opportunities in Iran today, how would you characterize those ones for foreign business opportunities in Iran?
As mentioned, everything around expanding the infrastructure in the country,
mm-hmm.
is on demand. This could be on the oil and gas, which is lagging behind. This could be on water and wastewater segment. This could be on the logistics and transportation, and also meeting consumer demand. Whatever we have now. The production of non-alcoholic beers from Austria and Iran. We have a production of cafe from Nestle.
Right.
Yeah, that's principally the main point. I mean, you could go into details, a lot into details,
mm-hmm.
but all in all, and generally speaking, any infrastructure project is interesting in the country. And even in these situations we have the whole political scenario and the war, they are welcoming companies who dare themselves to come into the country and invest and be part of the project. And of course, they would get their assurance too from the government.
Do you have any success stories you can tell us about?
One of our latest clients is Lindt & Sprüngli Chocolates. As I mentioned, the growing demand for consumer products, FMCG products, urged us to go into that direction. And Lindt & Sprüngli is one of the top providers of fine chocolates, premium chocolates in the world. It's a Swiss company. The subsidiary is almost in any country in the world. And we have developed a business in Iran, consulted them strategically, and coached them. So we could establish them successfully in the country, providing them with the potential partner they have now as an exclusive partner in Iran. And now we are also assisting them both in developing their sales channels and in better establishing in the market.
How do you think foreign businesses need to adapt to business in Iran?
Of course, foreign businesses should bring understanding with themselves, should know that they are starting in a new environment. They should not compare too much with situations in industrial countries. And if such an understanding, such approach is given, they will for sure be successful in the country. And I know even one-man companies from Europe who did this very well could soon grow to a medium-sized international company with subsidiaries around the world. And the business started all in Iran only. And in bringing a good deal of understanding for locals, for the local behavior, and the general circumstances in which the country is.
What are the three best pieces of advice you could provide to someone wanting to develop business in Iran?
First of all, to know the business environment and the respective markets. Find the right partner and do invest in the market. It is an important one. Not looking at it as a side business. Okay, we are internationally active and Iran is also a part which could be a good thing. Companies should consider Iran as a good point in their map and invest accordingly, be aggressive, and support their local partners.
Great. Finally, do you have any resources or information you could share with the audience about doing business in Iran?
We are trying to make a monthly bulletin and newsletter to our website. But for the time being, I personally am publishing on Zing. Zing is an international platform for business persons, and moderating a group called Iran Business. And whoever is interested in the legal and business environment in Iran, general to specific, I am publishing monthly newsletter on that. And I guess it's very interesting for companies, as I know that from the feedback I get from the over 100 members we already have.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Ali's contact details will be available in the podcast notes. It's around the website. You can visit the AsiaBusinessInvestor.com website for Ali's details, or visit the Zing Professional Group, xing.com, where you can find the Iran Business Forum. And that's goodbye from Nicholas Cameron from AsiaBusinessInvestor.com.